Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome back to another Head of the Pack post-draft edition. Packers make it out of this draft with 11 players. They traded a couple times, I believe twice, up in the second round with the Vikings, back in the fifth with the Broncos. Filled pretty much all the needs we identified before the draft, maybe not tight end, but we'll go through it. Let's see if I can remember everyone they drafted off the top of my head. This will be interesting after the lack of sleep I got this weekend. Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Sean Ryan, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Tariq Carpenter, Jonathan Ford, Samori Toure. Oh boy. Kingsley Nagbare.
Yeah, fifth round pick Kingsley. Yeah. JJ.
And there's one more. Oh, Rasheed Walker, the tackle from Penn
State.
There
you go.
Wow, that was impressive.
Not bad.
Bill, what's your biggest takeaway from the draft?
Yeah, the receiver thing. Gosh, remember on Thursday night, I'm not sure who asked Goody about, do you have to draft a receiver in the second round or do you have to draft a receiver in day two? Nah, I don't think we need to do that. So he drafted three receivers the next 2 days, including giving up 2 second round picks to get a receiver. So, I mean, we all thought that line was nonsense, of course. But that was a rather emphatic statement about the state of his receiver core to draft not just one, but three. How about you?
Yeah, I won't copy yours, although it would be the same. But I'm really interested to see, and this may be a less attractive takeaway, but how the right side of the offensive line shakes out. This is the third straight year Goody has drafted three offensive linemen. Let's see if I can name these now. In 2020, it was John Runyon Jr., Jake Hansen, and
Simon Stepaniak.
And then last year it was Josh Myers, Royce Newman, and Cole Van Lannen. This year, Rasheed Walker, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. And it was interesting because, like, nobody loves offensive line versatility more than the Packers. Sean Ryan, Matt LaFleur said he could start out at tackle, kick in. Zach Tom, you don't really see guys be able to play tackle and center. It's more tackle and guard or guard and center. But he played left tackle and center in college, but they also think he can play anywhere. Rasheed Walker was a stalwart left tackle at Penn State. He's in play at right tackle. What this draft showed me from an offensive line perspective is, A, they needed better depth. Goody said that. He didn't like, you know, their lack of numbers on the line entering the draft. And B, especially with Elton Jenkins' injury, those two spots on the right side of the line, I think, are up for grabs. Now, I think Royce Newman and Yosh Nijman will start camp with those spots. I can go ask Yosh what he thinks. He's on the floor right below me right now in our building, but
why don't you?
I don't think I'm going to. Hey man, can you play right tackle?
Yeah, we're doing this podcast, Yosh. What do you think?
Yosh, you want to come be a guest? I think it'll be fascinating to see kind of the competition there. If you remember, I mean, Lucas Patrick, I don't believe, was with the starting five to start camp last year.
Correct.
And then he plays a bunch. I know obviously injuries, you know, were part of that, but this is a team that's seen its fair share is an understatement of injuries on the O-line the last 2 years, and they're gonna have to be ready for whatever happens, and keeping your 38-year-old back-to-back MVP quarterback upright is priority number one.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Zach Tom. Obviously we're not going to know anything with this rookie camp coming up or all the OTAs and crap coming up in May and June, but I'm interested to see Tom. I mean, he's right out of Packers central casting. You mentioned that he started at center, He started at left tackle. He's a big dude. He's got the arm length, the requisite arm length that you're looking for. super athletic. I mean, his shuttle was in the 4.4s, I want to say, which has always been a big number for them. So I'm interested to see where he ends up. And I asked Goody on Friday where he thought Elgton Jenkins is going to play. He didn't know. It's going to be it's the proverbial or stereotypical best five. And I think it's going to be where do these other guys fit in? And they can just stick Jenkins wherever at this point. I would think Elgton want to play tackle, right, Matt? Because that's where the money's at. And he's a free agent next offseason. I would think he would lobby to say, I'm a right tackle. Put me there.
Not only do I think he'll want to for that reason, but I think the Packers will want him to because,
yes,
sure, you could have the best left side of the offensive line in the NFL with David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins, but you know, protecting Aaron Rodgers' strong side is probably pretty important too. And if you're talking about best five, I think getting Elgton on the right side would help you get that best five. John Runyon Jr. is no slouch. He wasn't, a standout, but he's a solid left guard. Josh Myers is a solid center from what we saw last year. And then right guard will be up for grabs once Jenkins comes back, even more so up for grabs when he's not back. Maybe it'll be the first half of the season that he misses, but it'll be interesting to see how that gets configured. Now, the big story of day one was, oh, the Packers don't take a receiver. And I saw someone tweet this like, oh, so if Christian Watson was picked two picks earlier, then the Packers are doing right by Aaron Rodgers, but because he wasn't, they're just totally neglecting him. I thought that was funny. But like we've said, it's not a bad strategy to take two guys from the best defense in college football. And I think Christian Watson is the most fascinating pick in this class because he's the guy who's could be the guy at his position fastest. Quay Walker will not be the guy because Devondre Campbell is. Devontae Wyatt won't be the guy because Kenny Clark is. Christian Watson could be the guy. So I think their second-round pick's the most fascinating, but their two first-round picks really give them depth and flexibility in two areas of their defense that they really haven't had it the last 2 years, and that's just as important as getting maybe like a stud when you have a huge hole at one spot.
Yeah, they are really strong on the D-line. I mean, to not have to rely on Dean Lowry to play 40 snaps a game is huge. I mean, Dean Lowry's not a bad player, but I think he's always kind of someone that you'd like to upgrade over if you can. And maybe they have. And you got Jaron Reed, who's played a million snaps the last, 4 or 5 years. But they seem to like Slayton. So that front's pretty loaded, and it'll be interesting to see. And I know we talked about this on the Thursday night podcast, but if Walker really pans out and they can play more traditional defenses rather than having to play nickel all the time, or not nickel, having to play dime all the time, that's obviously a huge benefit, and that's something that Gudukins talked about on Thursday night.
Right. Just, and we talked about this on Friday morning, but that positional versatility or personnel versatility, whatever you want to call it, Goody said they haven't had in a while two inside linebackers who can do everything really well. He thinks Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker can both defend against the pass and against the run really well, and it makes it harder for opposing offenses to tell what you're gearing up to defend if you have, a second inside linebacker who can do it all as opposed to just one inside linebacker when it's clear you're defending against the pass and vice versa. If you have two in and four defensive backs and you're gearing up for the run, whatever, you get it. But like you said, I'm interested to see, do they have less defensive linemen on the field if you want to get all three corners on the field at the same time? Because like we talked about, you want to get Douglas, Stokes, and Jair on the field at the same time as much as possible, but you're not going to have your first round pick ride the bench either. I don't think. Maybe he's more of a situational guy to start. Like we've seen in the past here, first-round picks don't have to play right away, i.e. Rashawn Gary and Jordan Love, obviously. So we'll see what they do there. I think let's touch on the two receivers they took after Christian Watson. How do you think the wide receiver room kind of pans out now? They have Dubs. I'm just going to call him Dubs. He said we can call him that. That's his nickname. Samori Toure, who led the Big Ten with 19.5 yards per catch. So they have a couple deep threats, a couple speed guys. It's a packed wide receiver room. How do you see that kind of shaking out, and who do you think are returners that could be on the way out if they don't step up in camp?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Malik Taylor and Juwan Winfrey have been here for a bit now. It's hard to see them sticking around. You know, LaFleur talked about wanting to you guys down at the spring meetings, boarding guys who can stretch the field and take the top off of defense and all those other cliches. All those guys come in. All those guys are, Watson's 4.36. The other guys are 4.4 guys with field stretching ability. Watson can block. Watson can run through tacklers. Toure is a pretty good steal. I can't say that I knew a lot about Dubs entering this draft, but man, the guy was super productive. Again, he's another bigger guy too. So it is going to be, gosh, what do you do? I mean, all those three guys make it. Lazard, boy, Sammy Watkins, Matt, you mentioned it in the last podcast that he's not exactly a lock to make the roster. He's going to have to earn it. There's going to be no free lunches for him because,
right?
And I'm probably guilty of overvaluing these draft picks, but you know, if those guys are who they think they are, do you really need a 29-year-old veteran who hasn't done a whole lot since, well, I guess 2017 with the Rams? He was decent enough, but
that's a long
time
ago.
To go with the younger guys, maybe.
The thing is, like, you know this, at the bottom of that depth chart are going to be guys who are there because of their special teams ability, not because of what they do at receiver. So yeah, if you have Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Christian Watson, and I still think Amari Rodgers is a roster lock. They're not going to give up on him yet. Then that leaves 2-3 spots for Sammy Watkins, Dubs, Toure, Winfrey, Malik Taylor. Dubs?
Rico Gafford.
Yeah, I mean, Dubs was a good returner in college. He has,
yes, he was.
A lot of return ability. Sammy Watkins, I wouldn't expect him to factor in the return game. So maybe that gives him the upper hand. I would have a hard time believing that they cut a fourth-round pick right away. So we'll see what happens there. I think the return game is something that they really need to get in line this year. They had a couple games of Tyler Irvin a couple years ago, but I don't want to say they've mailed it in because that would be unfair to them. But as we've talked about, this is just the theme of special teams as a whole. They say, oh, okay, who's a wide receiver that can return kicks? Or who's a linebacker who can cover punts? As opposed to, who's a special teams ace that can also help us out on defense? Like, that's why they have Tariq Carpenter, the seventh-round safety from Georgia Tech. I think he's going to make the team because he gives them something, A, on defense that they don't really have. Will Redmond and Raven Green a couple years ago didn't really do it. Kind of that oversized dime linebacker who can really step in against the run. He's 6'3", 230, listed as a safety, but they're still kind of figuring out where to put him, linebacker or safety. And then that's a special teams body. That's a guy who's going to get down there on special teams and make a freaking tackle, or at least they hope. So guys like that are where we see Rich Bisaccia's influence, where these seventh-rounders, late-round picks are like, okay, that's a special teams guy.
Yeah, Watson was an All-American kickoff returner in 2020, I believe that was the year he was. And then Dubs, I believe, was 12.5 yards and a touchdown on punt returns for his career. That's legit production there. Carpenter, you know, stick with this, Matt. I can't believe they didn't draft a long snapper. When they had that fourth pick in the seventh round, they go, my God, these guys are going to draft a long snapper, aren't they? And they didn't even sign one, I don't think, undrafted-wise.
Yeah, they did.
Did they? I know they have a trial. I thought it was a trial guy.
I don't know if they signed one, but Cameron Kay, the long snapper from Troy, announced on Twitter that he'll be in rookie minicamp. So if that is on a tryout basis, it's still another long snapper for them to look at.
Yeah, they need someone.
I think Goody learned his lesson a couple of years ago not to use a draft pick on a long snapper.
I know. But you know what? They are going whole hog on special teams with Bisaccia. You know, they signed a punter. They've got three kickers here presently. I thought, they got 4 7th rounders. Why not throw one at the Senior Bowl guy or whatever?
Right.
But they'll be competition here at some point. They're not going to let Steven Wartell come through this thing uncontested.
Right. They might let Pat O'Donnell. Did you see the video? Him and Mason.
Oh my God, that was epic.
Unbelievable. Packers special teams might be onto something here.
Maybe, if nothing else, I was trying to build something yesterday, a outdoor storage container. I should hire those guys because they're clearly more capable. Now they're kicking footballs of building stuff than I am.
That was pretty impressive.
If I would have built bunk beds for my kids, they'd have been dead.
Yeah, I'm not a handyman either, really. I'm with you on that one. Let's circle back to Watson. I know he's obviously going to get a lot of praise for his speed and his size and his deep threat ability and all that. And clearly the Packers weren't concerned enough about this to not draft him, but his hands were not great the last 2 years. Now, having better hands is probably more easy to rectify than other parts of a wide receiver's game. And Goody mentioned James Jones and Devontae Adams, two guys who did all right for themselves around here as guys who struggled with drops earlier in their career and overcame them. And listen, MVS had kind of the same issue. Obviously, not as much this past year, but he struggled with his drops too. So that's why Christian Watson at least reminds me of MVS a little bit. That was Daniel Jeremiah's comparison. But I thought it was interesting. Jim Nagy, who knows these guys better than any of us, who got Christian Watson to the Senior Bowl, was very much against that. He said, Christian Watson has all the tools, but he's raw. Don't see Valdez-Scantling comps. Watson is far looser athlete with a higher ceiling. Part of developmental curve is now on Aaron Rodgers. That's why teams pay franchise QBs to make other players better. So I was interested to hear that. Obviously, it's easy to peg the MVS comparison on him because of his physical attributes and who he's replacing. But interesting perspective from Jim. Are you obviously you're not concerned because you're not a Packers coach, but do you think it should be a concern for how many drops he had and the fact that this isn't a guy who can like just work on the jugs machine while other guys get snaps early in his career? He's going to be thrown in there right away.
You know, I'm not concerned. You know, a lot of the drops, if you look at his career drop percentage, a lot of that was 2020.
Yeah.
Last year, he wasn't bad last year. I think he had 5. In fact, I talked to his coach at North Dakota State last night. And he said he got better and better as the year went on in that regard. So
his wide receivers coach?
The offensive coordinator who's been there forever.
We're all talking to these same people. We're all going to be talking to these same people.
Yeah. So interestingly here, you know, the average hand size for a receiver is about 9.5 inches. Christian Watson, 10 1/8. Daubs, 10. Terray, 9.5. So they're all bigger than normal. So I think at least if you've got the physical tools to catch the ball, I think that goes a long way. I guess I wouldn't be concerned about it just because he did improve in that regard and he does have the skill set to get that done. So, no, I guess I wouldn't be super concerned about it.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. And I think it'll help him that Aaron Rodgers, at least it seems from his word to Pat McAfee, that he will be here for some of the voluntary stuff in May and for the mandatory stuff in early June, which he was not last year. So that should help. Most interesting pick after day one for you, besides Christian Watson, and why?
Yeah, I would go with Carpenter. I was going to say the linebacker, outside linebacker, mm-hmm. Kingsley. But I'll go with Carpenter. Just because of the skill set, you mentioned Raven Green. You mentioned Will Redman. Last year was Henry Black. Raven Green was actually decent enough at it, but he was always hurt. Will Redman was not good at it. He was a terrible tackler, and Henry Black was so bad that he wasn't even invited back on an exclusive rights contract. So, yeah, I would say Carpenter is a guy who can really change this defense, even if it's a 10 snaps a roll position. To have a guy with DB speed who probably can cover to some extent, but he's not going to be the tackling liability those other guys were because he's 230, not 210. I think that is a real interesting pick. What do you got?
I'm going JJ. Kingsley, whatever he wants to be called. He said Kingsley. This is a stat that our buddy Rob Domofsky tweeted out from ESPN Stats and Info. He had the second highest pressure percentage in the SEC last year. behind Will Anderson Jr., who is in contention to be the number one overall pick next year. Ninth highest pressure percentage in the country. And it was funny because you mentioned earlier, Goody saying on Thursday night, I don't think I have to draft a receiver. And then on Friday night, he said, I like our edge rushers as is. And then he goes,
no, right?
So we know how it is. He kind of just has to say those things. But he did single out Randy Ramsey. I'm interested to see how that depth chart shakes out behind Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. As we've talked about, Smith and Gary both only played about 64% of the defensive snaps last year. That leaves a lot of snaps for backup edge rushers. So those guys are going to have to, you know, Kingsley is going to come in and probably play a little bit on special teams too. Jonathan Garvin and Tipa and Kingsley and Ladarius Hamilton and Randy Ramsey. That's going to be a fight for number three and number four edge rushers. Number three is obviously going to get a lot more playing time than number four, but that's an important piece. It's not just like a throwaway position like a third-string cornerback or a third-string safety might be, because Savage and Amos and the starting corners play all the snaps. Like, edge rushers do not play all the snaps. So that'll be interesting to see how much he plays on defense, but that strategy of just drafting defensive players who are productive from the best conference in college football, I don't hate it.
No. You know, the snap count, that's a great point. If you discard Merciless, but if you just go with Garvin, Tipa, and Hamilton, they played like 20 fewer snaps than Gary played last year. So you're right, that is a lot of snaps. A lot. That is a starting player's worth. God, how am I saying it? A starting player's number of snaps that's available out there. He is slow, and I didn't think the Packers would draft him. I kind of go through this every year where I have put the list together. Their history shows they're not going to take these guys, and I put him on the list. I mean, he ran 4.87 at the combine. He was 4.96 at pro day. I mean, he actually got slower, which is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think they would draft him, but at that point in the draft, fifth round for a guy who's, I think he had 14 sacks the last 2 years in a pretty good league. No, to exaggerate. Pretty good value for late in the fifth round.
Your biggest remaining question mark on the Packers roster?
Yeah, I'll go tight end, not from this year, but that is a position that what do they do next year with Tonyan's a free agent, Mercedes is a free agent. I would bet money that they use a fourth round pick on a tight end or a third rounder, and they didn't do it. So does that mean that if Tonyan shows something this year, that they're going to commit to him long term? I guess what do they do there? Because there is no starter waiting. Josiah DeGuara is not a tight end. He's the move around fullback, H-back kind of guy. He can't go line up in line and do what Mercedes Lewis does. So I thought that was an interesting one. What do you got?
You keep stealing my answers.
All right, fine. I'll say something else.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, I mean, tight end too. That would be my answer. No, it wouldn't be safety, because that would really only be my biggest question if they didn't exercise the fifth year option on Savage. I'm going to go tight end too, but for a little bit different of a rationale. I do think it's an immediate need. Like, I know you said for the future, but there's no guarantee Robert Tonyan comes back and is the 2020 Robert Tonyan off of his torn ACL. And like you mentioned, Dominique Daphne, Josiah DeGuara haven't really proven themselves as pass catchers. Mercedes Lewis has been a dominant pass catcher in this league before, but he's not anymore. And like we've said, just as important as getting a third or fourth wide receiver to increase competition there is getting a tight end who can catch passes. They didn't have that pass catching tight end last season. And having two of them, if Tonyan does come back to full strength, would create a bunch of mismatches. And as is the case with linebackers, keeps opponents guessing. Because, I think this was in my live room that I talked about this the other day. All my days are mixing together now, but having two tight ends on the field at the same time creates that air of unpredictability. Like if you have Mercedes Lewis and a rookie, or Mercedes Lewis and Tonyan, or Tonyan and a rookie, like teams don't know what you're going to do. And I just think they needed another pass catching tight end for Aaron Rodgers. I guess they're confident in how Tonyan's coming back. I found it interesting that Goody singled out Tyler Davis and said, I think we have something there. So we'll see if they actually do have something there.
Yeah. Where's the cornerback depth?
Not good. That's another thing.
No, it's not.
I think we all said, like, oh, they don't need to draft a cornerback because they have maybe the best top three in the league in Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes, and Rasul Douglas. But if one of those guys gets hurt, you're going to have to find someone else to place nickel. And if two of those guys get hurt, then you're screwed.
Yes, you are. You're not getting Rasul Douglas every year, right, off a practice squad. That's right. That's not happening. I mean, Shamar Jean-Charles did. The last time I remember him on the field was at Cincinnati. And I think it was the two-point play, or was it the touchdown late in the game? Either way, it was Mixon scoring, and he juked Jean-Charles onto his derriere. I don't remember him playing. Keyshawn Nixon, I mean, what has he done? I mean, he's a special teams guy mostly, so they're thin.
Yeah, they mentioned him as a guy who can play some nickel. He played a little bit for the Raiders, but he's obviously mainly a special teams guy. And I even wonder about that third safety. If Carpenter is more of a linebacker, Vernon Scott couldn't get on the field ahead of Henry. I know Vernon Scott dealt with some injuries, but he couldn't get on the field ahead of Henry Black last year. And Henry Black wasn't good enough to even bring back on an exclusive rights free agent deal.
Yep.
So how bad is Vernon Scott then?
Yep.
So.
Positions that maybe they're looking for depth here down the road, or maybe it's those, you know, September cutdowns, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, how many corners did Goody bring in during camp last year? Maybe it's going to be the same sort of thing, or just going to be a revolving door until September, trying to look into somebody.
Maybe they turn the tires on KB Onento for the third year in a row.
Not a good point.
And I think it's important to note, like, there have been some neat finds out of rookie minicamp in recent memory for the Packers. Like, Chris Barnes was an undrafted free agent. He did some nice things, although I don't think he'll see much playing time this year because they just drafted another inside linebacker in the first round. Then the story everyone knows is Lucas Patrick in 2016 came here on a tryout basis, wasn't even an undrafted free agent signee, and came to be a really reliable, versatile starter. So I'm excited to see when we get to Lambeau this week, that laundry list of names who are there, and maybe pick out a couple that could be guys, because they have 75 guys listed on their roster right now. That does not include Alan Lazard on the active roster, which indicates that he has not yet signed his restricted free agent tender, though the deadline for another team to offer him a long-term contract extension has passed. So I would assume that's just a formality. He'll be on the team. Unless he holds out, which I wouldn't expect him to do. And then 11 draft picks are included on those 75 that have not signed yet. So 15 spots open for veteran free agents or undrafted rookie free agents or rookie minicamp tryout players that they choose to sign. So 15 spots still open. That's plenty of guys who could make things interesting this summer.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about they signed a – God, I should have looked it up. They signed a safety late in the year for special teams. Sean Davis. He was off someone's practice. So I guess they do have some depth, but they do have some players here. But
yeah,
it'll be interesting. It all starts this weekend, right? Friday, Saturday for rookie camp?
Friday, Saturday. Rookies get in on Thursday night, I believe LaFleur said, and then we'll be over there talking to these guys in person. Maybe there will be an open freaking locker room. Who knows?
That'll be great.
That would.
It's nice to talk to who I want to, not who the team would like us to talk to.
Exactly. It'll be neat. I'm sure it'll be nice to see some of these guys in person. Hey, maybe Aaron Rodgers will show up to rookie minicamp to throw some passes to Christian Watson. Just kidding. You couldn't pay me $1 million to show up to rookie minicamp if I was Aaron Rodgers. But we'll catch you guys probably again in another 2 weeks. We're about to hit the slowest parts of the NFL offseason. The middle of the summer still a couple things to tackle here in the next couple weeks, obviously with mini camps and offseason activities and no Aaron Rodgers drama. He will be in town at some point. So we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. That's a soft promise from me. You can pencil that in. Until then, find Bill all over SI, me at The Athletic. We'll talk to you guys soon.